Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, hey, I want to say thanks to everyone, especially to our staff who's made things happen this week while I was out of pocket, while Megan was out of pocket. I'll never forget about 15 or 20 years ago. It's hard to believe that I was actually doing something 20 years ago, that I'm that old, but about 20 years ago, I'll never forget, about 30 minutes till Sunday morning, church time, the pastor called me. That's before we had text messages, but he called me and said, "Hey, I'm not going to be here today, so you're preaching." And as like a 20-whatever-year-old youth pastor, that freaked me out. And I just said, "Oh God, you got to help me." And so 30 minutes, I think, is the least amount of time I've ever had to prepare a message. But last week, you know, Addison just broke that record. I think I gave Addison 12 minutes notice last Sunday. And I watched it online. He did an awesome job, didn't he? Bring the Word of God. And then this morning, our worship team had just a little bit more notice about that Megan wasn't going to be here. So thanks for everyone and people that just handled Wednesday nights for us. Thanks for stepping up in this season of uncertainty. You never know who's doing what when you walk in the door. And that's okay, because God's ultimately the one doing everything, right? And so we can roll with that. Ephesians chapter 3 is our theme verse. You see these banners behind me. I feel like I haven't been here in forever. And so I'm just like, if I'm rusty, forgive me. But this is our theme verse. Our theme term for the season is immeasurably more. How many of you know God can do immeasurably more than what you could ask, think, or imagine? I want to ask you, I feel like I need to build your faith this morning. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And doesn't just come by hearing something, it comes by hearing the Word of God. So I want you to hear the Word of God from your own voice this morning. So I want to ask you to say this verse out loud with me this morning, loud enough so that you can hear your own voice and yours. On your mark, get set, go. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that's at work within us." That means what I'm trying to get to our hearts and our minds this season is that God can not just do what we ask, God can do more than we ask. And He doesn't just do more than we ask in other people or through other people. God can do more than you can ask or believe or imagine through you. And I just feel like I could say that the next 30 minutes, and some of you would still not believe me. So I'm not going to say it for another 30 minutes, but I am going to say it one more time. That God can do more than you can imagine through you. And I'm praying that through this month that God will expand our minds, that God would blow our minds, that He would help our minds understand what His Word has promised, and that we would understand it enough to begin to welcome the immeasurably more that God has for us in our hearts and our lives this morning, spiritually, financially, relationally. God can do more than you can ask, think, or imagine. And this morning, we're really focusing on how God provides for us. And we need provision in different areas of our life. So today's message, when we talk about God providing, whatever you walked in this morning needing, I want to just give you permission to apply this provision message to your life. Maybe you need some provision of wisdom. Then take this word this morning and apply it to your life. Maybe you need some provision financially. Then take this word and apply it to your life. Maybe you need some provision in your life when it comes to your marriage, relationship. Then take this and apply it to your life this morning. And we look at 2 Kings chapter 4. This is a text that many of you, I don't even have to read it to you. We could just kind of tell the story. But in case it's been a while, or maybe you've never heard it, I'm going to read it to you this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4, it says, "The wife of a man from a company of the prophets," so this is a prophet's wife, a preacher's wife, whatever you want to say, "comes to Elisha, and she says, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know how you revere the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves.' And Elisha responded to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing at all, except a small jar of olive oil.' And so Elisha said, go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. And don't just ask for a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you, you and your sons, and pour the oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to the side. So she left him. She shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her. She kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not another jar left. So the oil stopped flowing. So she went and told the man of God, Elisha, what happened. And he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debts. And you and your sons can live on what's left over. I don't know if you picked it up, but God did not meet her need. Right? Her need was, God, rescue me from this moment of provision. God, get my sons out of prison. Save me from this issue. But God didn't do what she asked, did he? No. He said he did exactly what she asked, but then he gave her enough left over to live on through the rest of this season. God does not want to just deliver you today. He wants to deliver to you everything you need for today and tomorrow. Stop asking God to provide for you today and believe. Start believing God to see you through the season we're in. So we're praying. I'm just talking to me and you both this morning. We pray too many short-sighted prayers. We pray, God, rescue me today when God wants to sustain you through tomorrow as well. So how do we begin to ask those kind of prayers? Well, let's ask the Lord to show us how this morning. Father, you see our need of you this morning. Apart from you, we do nothing. But God, with you, anything is possible. So I pray this morning you'll take the word that's been read to us. And God, we know that your word doesn't need any help, but God, I need help. I need help to speak this word. And we definitely need your help to hear this word as you want us to hear it. So help me today. Overcome my weakness with your strength. Overcome our ability to listen. And give us the ability to hear well. And we'll give you thanks. Everybody in the room said amen. So this woman, she had a desperate need, and in these days she was living in, if you had debts you couldn't pay, it's not that they gave you, 30 days to pay. If you couldn't pay your debts, they would become to take from you your assets. And in Bible days, your children were considered assets. And so it's not like this lady decided, I'll sell my children into slavery and take the money. No, someone said, I'm going to come take your boys, and they're going to become my property until you can redeem them, until you can pay for them yourself. And Elisha began to ask her, well, what do you have in your house? Isn't there something you can sell, something you can redeem? And the only thing she had of any monetary value at all was just a little bit of jar of a little bit of olive oil. Can you see my olive oil this morning? Just a little bit. I don't know how big her jar was, but here's what I know. She just had a little bit. She had so little that she had discounted any potential for what she had to rescue her from what she was dealing with. But friends, I want to tell you, I'm completely convinced that little bit of oil, that little bit of ability, that little bit of monetary value wasn't just a picture of her financial condition. It was a picture of her life condition, right? She was empty. She had lost her husband. She had lost her place in society. She had lost her place in the ministry. I mean, all she had left was just a little bit, not just financially, but socially. Some would say that that's probably all she had spiritually. I mean, she's just dependent on the graciousness of Elisha to come and help her out. And some of you in this room, if I were to ask you, hey, describe to me what your life is like today, some of you would say, yeah, that jar is like my life. I've just got a little bit. And some of you in this room, you've been trying to fill up your little bit. You've been trying to fill your jar with a lot of things, a lot of habits, a lot of people, a lot of decisions, a lot of good choices. And you've tried to fill it up with a relationship and all these things. And no matter what you put in your jar, no matter what you put in your life, it's still, when the day is done, this is a description. Because can I tell you, this is all we can ever be without Jesus. Just a little, but never enough. There's an emptiness, there's a void in our life that can only be filled with the help of God. So what do I do? Spiritually speaking, financially speaking, relationally speaking, what do I do when what I have isn't enough? We've been praying some specific prayers. Brandy mentioned the week of prayer. One of the prayers we prayed that week that we're praying this month and praying this year is, God, provide for your people. And so do I knew what do I do when it's my life that needs the provision of God? I want to give you a few points from Scripture this morning. Number one, I would just challenge you to remember that the Lord is your source. When what you have is not enough, remember the Lord is your source. This lady had real big problems, right? She had lost her husband. She was about to lose her sons. You know, her sons weren't just, it wasn't just the heartache of her losing her sons today, but those two boys, they didn't just represent what she loved. They represented all the hope she had for her future. The only hope she had of any type of retirement or lifestyle was hoping that these boys would grow up and they would earn a living. The only way she, only dream she ever had of ever supporting herself was they would grow up and be men who could earn a wage and they would support her. Those boys were not just her life for that day, they were her life for the future, and that's what's being taken from her. She is losing everything. She had huge problems. And the reality is that sometimes, I know you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to say it anyway, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes you do the right thing and bad things happen to you anyway. This lady said, Elisha, you know my husband, right? He was passionate for the Lord. He revered the Lord. He was zealous, one translation says, for the Lord. He was faithful to the Lord in a time it was hard to be faithful. Yet despite his faithfulness, he died. And now that he's gone, she is indebted. They've served God. They've done the right thing. And here she is. She's destitute. Not only destitute, she's in debt. And I know when I read Scripture, I think, man, if this guy was really, you know, if he was really astute, if he'd taken care of his business, then she wouldn't be in this predicament. I mean, this is kind of her own fault. How many know it's easy to start blaming people when you see people in a mess? You know, but Josephus, who's a Jewish historian, writes a lot of things about biblical time and biblical traditions. He was a contemporary of many of the gospel writers. And though his texts are definitely not inspired, he provides a lot of history of people who lived in certain time frames in Jewish history. And he writes of this lady. And he writes that the reason this lady, this destitute widow, could even get an audience with Elisha the prophet is because they had been so active in taking care of God's people. Her husband had been so active in taking care of God's people that Josephus says in his writings that at one time she and her husband, when Jezebel was trying to kill the prophets, she and her husband had housed over 100 prophets of God who Jezebel was trying to kill, and they provided for their supplies for weeks, if not months. And that the reason she was in this shape in the first place was because she had spent all they had taking care of the people of God. Well, Pastor, you can't say that's exactly true with 100% certainty. No, you're right, I can't. Here's more than likely, she had a right to feel like, God, I've done what I was supposed to do, and here I am with nothing to show for it. She'd been zealous for the Lord. But despite all of her emptiness, she remembered, God is my source. I don't know where else to go, so I'm going to go to God. And I would challenge you this morning, no matter how abandoned you feel, no matter how forgotten you feel, no matter how much you feel like that God has let you down or God has waited you out and that you should not wait anymore, I would just challenge you to remember that God is your source. He's still the one that can take what we say is not enough and make it more than enough. Second thing I would challenge you to remember is that God always uses what you have. Elisha simply asked her, what do you have? She said, well, I just got a little. But how many understand that God has a track record of taking what we think is too little and making it more than enough? I heard a story of a preacher who went to the local parade. And as he was watching the parade go by, he looked next to him, and on the shoulders of the man next to him was this little boy, about 3 or 4, maybe 5 years old. And he turned to that little boy, and he looked at the little boy and said, "Man, you are really tall." And the boy looked back at the preacher and said, "Oh, this isn't all me." Sometimes when we feel hopeless with our little bit that's not enough, it's because we think our only resource is us. Right? That little boy wanted that preacher to know, hey, this isn't really all me. I'm not really this tall. There's someone holding me up to let me do what I normally can't do. Can I tell you, we serve a heavenly Father who can hold you up and let you do things that are beyond and see things that are beyond, take hold of things that are beyond your own ability. But we got to trust God to use what we have. You can look in the New Testament. And when Jesus tells the disciples to feed, 5,000 men plus ladies and children with nothing in their hands, they said, "Lord, there's no way we could find enough food. And there's no way we can afford enough food." And Jesus says, "Well, go search the crowd, see what you got." And what do they find? They found a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. And they said, "But Lord, that's not enough." But what happens? Jesus feeds them. And what they said was not enough ends up to be 12 baskets, more than enough. Our God does abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine, immeasurably more than we could ever imagine if we'll trust Him. In the Old Testament, Gideon went to fight the battle against the enemies of God. And he didn't have a big enough army, but God said, you got too many. So he whittled them down to what, 300 people. And those 300 people that everyone would say is not enough did more than what anyone would thought is possible. I just want to ask you this question. I wonder what you have in your possession this morning. What gifting, what talent, what wisdom, what act of obedience that you've been sitting on this morning that you would think that, my act of obedience doesn't matter. It's not big enough to make a difference. My gift isn't big enough. My talent isn't big enough. My wisdom isn't big enough. But I wonder what you have in your possession this morning that if you would just trust God with it, He would make it more than enough. But here's the third thing. If we want to see the provision of God, God wants us to participate in the process. This woman comes to Elisha and says, "Hey, they're taking my sons. I don't have anything. Just a little bit of oil." Elisha could have said this. He could have said, "Listen, lady, sit down. This is going to be awesome." He could have said, "Oh, just hold up. Let me do something for you real quick." He could have said, "Just stay here. I got to go talk to your neighbors and I'll be right back." But he didn't do any of that. He said, here's what you've got to do. He wanted this lady involved in the process of the provision. He wanted this lady involved in the process of the miracle. And so she had to go door to door asking, "Hey, can I borrow any empty jars you have? If I come to your door, even those of you that know me and like me halfway, and who are willing to loan me some empty jars out of your house, if I come to your house any time of day or night, and I knock on your door, and I say, 'Hey, can I borrow some empty jars?' What are you going to say to me?" Some of you are saying, "No way." Some of you are saying, "Yes." But what most of you would say would be this: "Why?" And how many of you would love to give that answer? Why do you, broke, busted, little bit of oil having lady, need all these empty jars? I don't know if she lied. I don't know if she went ahead and said, "Well, see, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go back and I'm going to take your empty jars and I'm going to take my half-empty jar and I'm going to fill all these empty jars with my half-empty jar. That's what's going to happen." Wouldn't that just be a little bit of a challenge to explain? Yet her sons have to go door to door asking people It had to be embarrassing. It had to be challenging. It had to blow people's mind. I don't know what she said to people. But she obeyed. And there's certain things I want you to get this morning that if you sleep through the rest, that's okay. But do you know what she was doing every time she knocked on the door? Every time her sons knocked on the door, said, "Hey, do you have any empty jars?" If they said yes, "Can we borrow them? Can we have them?" And they would give them to them. Sometimes they had to give an explanation. I don't know what that sounded like. But do you know what they were doing? Every time they knocked on someone's door and got another jar and they began to, you know, pile these things up and come home. And every time they laid those jars down, you know what they were doing? They were obeying God, right? That's an easy question. But what was their obedience to God doing in that moment? So, you know, somebody needs to write this one thing down, and then you can fall asleep if you want to. Their obedience to God was making room for the provision of God. So many people, we want God's provision on our blank table. God, just pour out your provision. I want to see you do something incredible and just do it right here. But I can tell you, God is not in the business of making messes. He's in the business of providing for his people. And every time they obeyed God, they were able to house a little bit more and a little bit more of the blessing of God. Let me ask you, how much of the provision of God do you want in your life? You prove it by how much obedience to God you're enforcing in your life. See, I was a kid. I'm kind of getting off script here, but when I was a kid, I know none of you were attending messed up churches and had messed up families like I did. And I say that in tongue in cheek because I know my dad's watching this morning. But I was kind of, maybe I had great everybody and I just had a twisted mind. That's very probable. But in my mind, as a kid especially, I thought if I disobey God, it's like God just comes to the blessing capacity of my soul, and he just wipes all the things. If I mess up one time, I'm like, psh. I mean, I had a really hard time when I started in ministry. You had to start filling out these forms. They'd ask, "When did you get saved? Which time are you talking about?" Because I'm pretty sure I got saved 792 times by the time I was 10 years old. Y'all are laughing because you know it's true, right? But here's where I've landed. Is that when I obey God, I'm making room for him to bless me. When I disobey God, it's not necessarily that he immediately casts me off, but what I am doing, listen, I'm 45 years old, God. I've been to school. I've got a degree. I'll make my own choices. I don't know what your word says, but come on. That was written over 2,000 years ago. I know what I should do, but I mean, no one else is doing it. It doesn't really fit with our culture. You know what the guy on television says? What my teachers say at school, what my professors say, you know, what just feels natural is in opposition of what the Bible says, so I'm just going to do my own thing. And it's not so much that God immediately throws us out. It's not that God immediately decides, you know, I'm not going to bless that person anymore. God's still good and God still blesses, but we don't have the capacity to receive it anymore because our lives are filled with disobedience instead of obedience. How much would that lady's life have changed if she heard the word of God that said, "Go to your neighbor's house and gather the jars," and she said, "People will think I'm crazy if I do that. People, they'll think I'm nuts. I've lost my mind. They'll think I'm out of touch with culture. They'll think I'm old-fashioned. They might make fun of me." What do you want to be? Cool or blessed? I don't know about you, but I've been watching the world. It's not working very well. Let me just talk to every single person, whether you're 12 or 25. Why would you pattern your relationship after Hollywood's? They're not working. I mean, I just read this morning where one of our country music stars almost got ran over by her husband last night. On purpose. And that's who we take our relational cues from. But this lady, she participated in the process of God, and her participation, which we could call obedience, is what made room for God to bless her. I'm just saying this, if you want the provision of God in your life, what you're doing, you're not earning God's provision. How many know we don't understand God? We don't earn God's provision in any shape, form, or fashion. It's all about the grace of God. But what we do is every time we obey God, we're opening our lives for Him to bless us. And the Bible says this, that when they ran out of jars, the oil stopped. See, here's point four. God's supply cannot be exhausted, but often our faith is. Some of you, you're not really enjoying this moment. And that's okay. I would just encourage you to avoid this book of the Bible. Because in the chapter preceding this, Elisha turns to the king of Israel and he says, grab some arrows. And he said, beat them on the ground. And so the king of Israel gets those arrows and he beats them on the ground three times. I'm sorry, that's later on in the book. And the king of Israel gets upset. It says you should have beat them, instead of three times, you should have beat them five times, six times, or seven times, because then God would have defeated your enemies five or six times. But instead, since you only beat the arrows three times, he's only going to defeat your enemies three times. In other words, that king's level of obedience was directly tied to God's level of blessing. In the chapter preceding this, God's people were in a drought, they were destitute, their animals were dying, everyone was dying, and God tells them, hey, go out into the valley and dig some ditches. In the morning, every ditch you dig will be filled with water. So they dig the ditches, and sure enough, in the morning when they wake up, every ditch they dug is filled with water. Every place that they provided a place for God to fill, He filled. I'm just saying, three times in this scripture, in three different instances, God paints this picture that His level of blessing is tied to our level of obedience. I think that was better preaching than you just did shouting. I'm just saying. I can hit rewind on my life, and there are moments when I think, man, God, I wish I would have trusted You more. There's other times when I think, God, I wish I would have trusted You sooner. Man, why did I wait so stinking long to trust God with this part of my life? Why do I feel that way? Maybe you felt that way. It's because we can see how our obedience to God opened our lives to receive the blessing of God. It didn't earn us the blessing of God, but it opened our lives to receive the blessing of God. Because here's the deal. This is point five this morning as I close. God can do more than we ask. 2 Kings chapter 4, she went and told the man of God what had happened. Hey, I gathered these jars, and just as you said, God has filled them. And as soon as they ran out of jars, God stopped filling them. I mean, I just got to believe that somewhere this woman probably thought, man, I wish I would have gotten more jars. But he said, go and sell the oil, pay your debts, and you can live on what's left. God didn't just do what she asked. He did more than she asked. And this morning I want to ask you to bow your heads because there's two points of prayer I want to make this morning. I've been walking around with this half-empty jar of oil in my hand. And there's some of you this morning that maybe you don't understand everything. Welcome to the club. I don't understand everything either. But here's what I know, that there's been moments in my life where this jar, half full, half empty, whichever way you want to look at it, would describe my life even after my best efforts. What I could do was not enough. What life could provide was not enough. What people that I loved and people loved me could provide was not enough. And that's the reality. That's the picture of why each of us need a Savior. Each of us, the Word says, has sinned and fallen short of what God requires of our life, and that result is our life is empty. It's never full. No matter what we add to it, no matter what we become, it's never enough. But Jesus came to become what we cannot become. He came to live a sinless life to pay for our sinful life. And today, say, Pastor, I'm just not full. And nothing in this world has been able to fill my life. And you're not a Christ follower. Today, Jesus can fill what no one else can fill. He can provide what no one else can provide. That is right relationship with God. Separation from your sin. And peace in your heart. And joy in your heart that doesn't come from what you have. It comes from who you have because you have Christ. Today you're away from God, but you just sense the Spirit of God drawing you towards Him. Just say, Pastor, I just feel like today's the day I need to start following Jesus. I don't want to single you out. I'm not going to ask you to stand or anything like that. I just want to know to pray for you. That you're making that decision today. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. 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 So, Father, I'm thankful that your word says in 1 John that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. God, I'm also thankful that John 10:10 says that you came that we can have life and life to the full. So I pray for those this morning who lifted their hands in this room, or maybe those who are watching online or listening to a podcast weeks from now, who are deciding today that they're going to follow Jesus. I pray as they begin to follow you in word and in deed, with trust in their heart, believing in who you are, God, I pray they will discover the joy of their Heavenly Father. I pray they'll discover the peace that comes from relationship with Jesus. And I pray the freedom they'll discover as Jesus sets them free from who they used to be and puts them on a path of who you call them to be. I pray you'll do it in Jesus' name. Secondly, today I want to pray for every believer in the room who's ever felt like this woman. I can't look into this woman's soul and say exactly how she felt, but I just got to believe that a woman who has been zealous for the Lord, risked it all for God. If you want to go back and read the rest of 2 Kings, the beginning part, you're going to discover there was no such thing as a casual believer. In these days, if you are following God, you are doing so at the risk of your own life. So there's nothing casual about this lady's faith. She has been zealous. She has been faithful. She has been fixed in serving God. And yet she found herself in a place where it looked like even though she had surrendered everything, it was about to cost her everything. Maybe today you say, Pastor, I've been faithful, I've been serving God, but it just seems like I'm in a season where I need God to provide because my provision is not enough. I need God to work a miracle because what I can do is not enough. Then I would just challenge you to be obedient to the Word of God. If it's an area of a relationship you're struggling with, you feel empty with, trust Him in biblical relationship. If it's financial, trust Him financially. If it's something to do with ministry, trust Him with the ministry of your areas of your life today. We don't earn His blessing, but we do make room for His blessings. And so today, you sense like you're in a place that's not enough. I'm going to believe that God's going to, like He did in this lady's life, not just rescue you for today, but sustain you through a season. So God, I just pray for every person that describes them today. God, their life has been marked by loss, and now they've been defined in it by the little they have left. But God, I'm thankful that we can place the little we have left in Your hands, and You can cause us to have more than enough. God, more than enough wisdom, more than enough provision, Lord, more than enough comfort for our losses. And God, I just speak that over the people of God today. I pray that those who have just been defining their lives by the little they have left, Lord, You'll take that little that they place in Your hands and You'll multiply it to not just rescue them from the hurts of today, but God, You'll sustain them through the season they're in. And that God, those around them who are watching their lives will see the testimony of the God they serve because they've been trusting You. Do it today. Cause them to be blessed in seasons where others would define it as a famine. Cause them to have more than enough when others would define what they're going through a season of lack. Because God, we believe You're able to do abundantly above, immeasurably more than all we could ask, think, or imagine. I pray You'll do that in Your people's lives today. So God, I pray You'll bless the people of God. God, I pray You'll bless them. I pray You'll keep them. I pray Your face will shine upon them. You'll give them peace. You'll give them joy, both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for His word today? We love You, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.